Be not troubled, Elder Marion G. Romney, Marion G. Romney, Conference Report, October 1966, pages 50-54. I greet you all this morning, members and non-members of the Church, both seen and unseen, as brothers and sisters. My message for you today is be not troubled, since I shall give much of it in the words of the Savior. I invite you to join me in a prayer that we may enjoy the enlightenment of His Spirit, that we may both understand and appreciate the significance of His words. People are troubled, if I correctly divine the temper of our times. People are troubled by the portent of current events, the rising risk of runaway inflation, the shocking debauchery of the new morality, crippling industrial strife, increasing crime and general disrespect for law and order, mob rule, threatening world food shortages, the denial of God, His eviction from the affairs of our daily lives, escalating wars. These and other signs of the times fill the minds and hearts of honest, God-fearing people everywhere with foreboding doubts and fearful apprehension. Informed believers in Jesus Christ see in these events fulfillment of the words that He spoke to His disciples as, on the last day of His public ministry, He stood before them in the flesh and responded to their questions concerning the signs of His coming in glory in the clouds of heaven, to fulfill the promises He had made concerning the redemption and also the restoration of the scattered Israel. Conditions foreseen, He first told them, as He stood with them there on the Mount of Olives, concerning the destruction of Jerusalem, and that from there a remnant of Israel would be scattered among all nations, but they shall be gathered again, but they shall remain until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, and in that day shall be heard of wars and rumors of wars, and the whole earth shall be in commotion, and men's hearts shall fail them, and when the times of the Gentiles is come in, a light shall break forth among them that sit in darkness, and it shall be the fullness of my gospel, and there shall be men standing in that generation, that shall not pass until they shall see an overflowing scourge, for a desolating sickness shall cover the land, but my disciples shall stand in holy places, and shall not be moved, but among the wicked, men shall lift up their voices and curse God and die, and there shall be earthquakes also in divers places, and many desolations, yet men will harden their hearts against me, and they will take up the sword, one against another, and they will kill one another. And now, when I had spoken these words unto my disciples, they were troubled, and I said unto them, be not troubled, for, when all these things shall come to pass, ye may know that the promises which have been made unto you shall be fulfilled. Joseph Smith was informed, the fact that the Lord recounted these predictions to the prophet Joseph in 1831 surely emphasizes their importance to us, and since the disciples were troubled when they were but being told of these calamities to come far in the future, it is no wonder that we are troubled as we witness their occurrence. But to proceed with the rest of what the Lord told His disciples, and it shall be with them like unto a parable which I will show you. Ye look and behold the fig trees, and ye see them with your eyes, and ye say when they begin to shoot forth, and their leaves are yet tender, that summer is now nigh at hand. Even so it shall be in the day when they shall see all these things, then shall they know that the hour is nigh, and it shall come to pass that he that feareth me shall be looking forth for the great day of the Lord to come, even for the signs of the coming of the Son of Man, and they shall see signs and wonders, for they shall be shown forth in the heavens above, and in the earth beneath, and then they shall look for me, and, behold, I will come, and they shall see me in the clouds of heaven, clothed with power and great glory, with all the holy angels, and he that watches not for me shall be cut off. But before they are cut off, the promised redemption and gathering, the assurance of which was to comfort his disciples both then and now, are to be fulfilled. This is the way the Savior put it: but before the arm of the Lord shall fall, an angel shall sound his trump, and the saints that have slept shall come forth to meet me in the cloud. Wherefore, if ye have slept in peace, blessed are you, for as you now behold me and know that I am, even so shall ye come unto me, and your souls shall live, and your redemption shall be perfected, and the saints shall come forth from the four quarters of the earth. Be not troubled. It was in the light of Christ's foreknowledge of this glorious consummation that he said to his disciples, be not troubled. Then, he continues, shall the arm of the Lord fall upon the nations, and then shall the Lord set his foot upon this mount, and it shall cleave in twain, and the earth shall tremble, and reel to and fro, and the heavens also shall shake, and the Lord shall utter his voice, and all the ends of the earth shall hear it, and the nations of the earth shall mourn, and they that have laughed shall see their folly, and calamity shall cover the mocker, and the scorner shall be consumed, and they that have watched for iniquity shall be hewn down and cast into the fire. And at that day, when I shall come in my glory, shall the parable be fulfilled which I spake concerning the ten virgins. For they that are wise and have received the truth, and have taken the Holy Spirit for their guide, and have not been deceived. Verily I say unto you, they shall not be hewn down and cast into the fire, but shall abide the day, and the earth shall be given unto them for an inheritance, and they shall multiply and wax strong, and their children shall grow up without sin unto salvation, for the Lord shall be in their midst and his glory shall be upon them, and he will be their king and their lawgiver. I hope we are all familiar with these words of the Lord and with his predictions concerning other coming events, such as the building of the New Jerusalem and the redemption of the old, the return of Enoch Zion, and Christ's millennial reign. Not only do I hope that we are familiar with these coming events, I hope also that we keep the vision of them continually before our minds. This I do because upon a knowledge of them, and an assurance of their reality and a witness that each of us may have part therein, rests the efficacy of Christ's admonition, "Be not troubled." It has always been faith in a lofty goal and confidence that it may be attained that have held people on the rugged course to high attainment. It was the assurance that they could obtain the land flowing with milk and honey that held Moses to the task of leading Israel through the wilderness. It was faith that they could obtain the land choice above all others that led Lehi and his colony through the desert and across the sea. It was the vision of Zion as it shall yet be that sustained the pioneers as they trudged across the plains. Paul says that even Jesus himself endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. Meet stresses with faith in God. If we are to remain on course through the stresses of the rising storm, it is imperative that we have a similar sustaining and motivation goal. The Lord has given us no reason to think it will be easy to stay on course. As a matter of fact, he said that deception would become so persuasive that if it were possible, the very elect shall be deceived. Neither has he promised that the impending calamities will be miraculously turned aside, nor that through the wisdom of men they can be averted. They are upon us because men have refused to be led by the living God. Generally speaking, men have rejected him and have chosen to put their trust in their own wisdom. In this they have made a terrible, tragic mistake. All history vindicates, and coming events will vindicate, the prophet's statement, "Cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh," warning us of the consequences of our present course and identifying the cause of our troubles. The Lord said, as early as November 1, 1831, "Hearken, O ye people of my church, hearken ye people from afar, and ye that are upon the islands of the sea, listen together, for verily the voice of the Lord is unto all men, come that all that will hear may hear, prepare ye for that which is to come, for the Lord is nigh, and the anger of the Lord is kindled, and his sword is bathed in heaven, and it shall fall upon the inhabitants of the earth." And what had brought the inhabitants of the earth to such a predicament? "Come, they have strayed from mine ordinances, and have broken mine everlasting covenant. They seek not the Lord to establish his righteousness, but every man walketh in his own way, and after the image of his own God, whose image is in the likeness of the world, establish his righteousness." Since man's failure to seek the Lord to establish his righteousness is the cause of his troubles, is it now obvious that the remedy is for him to reverse his course, that is, seek the Lord to establish his righteousness? Such is the clear implication of the next statement of the Lord in this revelation: "Wherefore, I, the Lord, knowing the calamity which should come upon the inhabitants of the earth, called upon my servant Joseph Smith, June, and spake unto him from heaven, and gave him commandments, and also gave commandments to others, that they should proclaim these things unto the world." Light came with the restoration. The commandments given, which were to be and which ever since have been proclaimed to the world, were given in connection with the restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the light that the Lord told his disciples would break forth among men when the times of the Gentiles should come in. It was restored to earth, he said, to be a light to the world, and to be a standard for my people, and for the Gentiles to seek to it, and to be a messenger before my face to prepare the way before me. In it are revealed the ordinances from which men have strayed and the everlasting covenant that they have broken. It also instructs men how they must seek the Lord to establish his righteousness. Basis for hope and courage. Now, the basis for the hope and courage that will keep us from being troubled does not lie in the expectation that enough people will accept and obey the restored gospel to turn aside the oncoming calamities. Nor does it depend upon any such contingency. As already indicated, it lies in the assurance that everyone who will accept and obey the restored gospel of Jesus Christ shall reap the promised rewards, and this regardless of what others do. And certain it is that those who receive the blessings will have to prevail against great opposition, for the world in general is not improving, it is ripening in iniquity. As early as January 2, 1831, the Lord declared, "Comma, all flesh is corrupted before me, and the powers of darkness prevail upon the earth, among the children of men. Comma, eternity is pained, And the angels are waiting the great command to reap down the earth, to gather the tares that they may be burned. About 2 years later he said again upon the subject, Behold, verily I say unto you, the angels are crying unto the Lord day and night, who are ready and waiting to be sent forth to reap down the fields. But the Lord saith unto them, Pluck not up the tares while the blade is yet tender, lest you destroy the wheat also. Therefore, let the wheat and the tares grow together until the harvest is fully ripe. Then ye shall first gather out the wheat from among the tares. And after the gathering of the wheat, behold and lo, the tares are bound in bundles and the field remaineth to be burned. President Woodruff's testimony. 65 years later, President Woodruff, then the mouthpiece of the Almighty on the earth, said, I want to bear testimony that the day has come when those angels are privileged to go forth and commence their work. They are laboring in the United States of America, they are laboring among the nations of the earth, and they will continue. We need not marvel or wonder at anything that is transpiring in the earth. We cannot draw a veil over the events that await this generation. No man that is inspired by the Spirit and power of God can close his ears, his eyes or his lips to these things. In confirmation of this testimony, the tempo of wickedness and destruction has been greatly accelerated since President Woodruff spoke those words, and so has the gathering in of the wheat. Even now the tares are binding themselves in bundles, making ready for the field to be burned. Mature faith, a source of strength and courage, naturally, believing Christians, even those who have a mature faith in the gospel, are concerned and disturbed by the lowering clouds on the horizon, but they need not be surprised or frantic about their portent, for, as has already been said, at the very beginning of this last dispensation the Lord made it abundantly clear that through the tribulations and calamity that he foresaw and foretold and that we now see coming upon us, there would be a people who, through acceptance and obedience to the gospel, would be able to recognize and resist the powers of evil, build up the promised Zion, and prepare to meet the Christ and be with him in the blessed millennium. And we know further that it is possible for every one of us, who will, to have a place among those people. It is this assurance and this expectation that gives us understanding of the Lord's admonition, Be not troubled. And now I close with this quotation from the Master, Come labor ye in my vineyard for the last time, for the last time call upon the inhabitants of the earth. For in mine own due time will I come upon the earth in judgment, and my people shall be redeemed and shall reign with me on earth. For the great millennium, of which I have spoken by the mouth of my servants, shall come. Hearken ye to these words. Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Treasure these things up in your hearts, and let the solemnities of eternity rest upon your minds. I bear my witness to the truth of these sayings. I know they are true, that we are living in those days and seeing the signs just preceding the coming of the Redeemer, that we may live the gospel of Jesus Christ and be not troubled. I humbly pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.